Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, Associate Editor of Charisma Magazine, and today I'm excited to welcome you to another installment of our ongoing New Year, New Voices series. This is a series dedicated to spotlighting young, rising, spirit-filled voices, people with powerful testimonies at a pretty young age relative to their contemporaries. And today we definitely have the youngest person of the 11 that we have assembled for this series. We're talking to Chelsea Hurst. Chelsea is, I could be getting this wrong. I think I'm right on this, though. I believe she is the only Generation Z person. So, like, most of these people are millennials. Chelsea is very young, but already God is using her in incredible ways. She's a YouTube star. She's an actress. She's an author. And today we're going to talk about her testimony, how she's seeing just like the next generation of Christians interacting with social media, interacting with mental health, interacting with technology. And it's a really eye-opening conversation. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. And a bonus treat in this episode is she is the only person who just started interviewing me partway into the interview here. It was a rare experience for me. So you get to hear me in some uncharted waters here. So I'm excited for you guys to check it out. It'll be coming up right after this break from our sponsors.
The $1 million question. Would you rather read a book or listen to it? I'm Ryan Lestrange and I like having the choice. Now Charisma offers the option. You can either read the magazine or you can hear it. Download the Charisma Media app at charismamediaaudio.com and listen in the spirit today. Download the app and sign up for your free 10-day trial at charismaaudio.com. That's charismaaudio.com.
Today I am so excited to welcome onto the podcast Chelsea Hurst. Chelsea, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk with you today. People in our audience may know you best as a YouTube star. They might also know you for being an author, an actress. You do a lot, and we'll get into that today. But but I guess just to start, like, how's your day going? How are you doing today?
Doing great. My husband and I are making a trek from Illinois to Georgia, where we live. We live a little bit north of Atlanta, and we love it there. We've been there for about 2 years, and we just love traveling, even though sometimes we feel like we live out of our car because we're always road tripping, but it's fun.
That's awesome. I think a good place to start usually with these interviews is I just like to hear people's testimonies. Can you tell me your story?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I always feel like this story could definitely be pretty long, but I guess we could start like whenever I was a little bit younger. I was kind of raised up in the church, but my family kind of stopped going for about 8 or 9 years. And by that time, I was friends with a lot of people who just went to church anyways. And I think that was a really big part of what grew me in my faith and actually kept me kind of in walk with the Lord, because it's kind of hard when you don't have friends that are kind of on the same page as you. And so I'm really thankful for those women. And I honestly just went and visited them on this trip, and I just love them. But as I got older, I started a YouTube channel when I was about 13. And at the time, I wasn't really, I mean, I was saved. I asked the Lord in my heart when I was like 10 in the bathtub. It was pretty funny. But then I don't think I really made the connection to where, like, you know, this takes walking with the Lord and following Jesus and what that looks like until high school, when I went to an event called DNOW, stands for Discipleship Now. And I loved that weekend. It was just a bunch of time to hang out with friends and eat a lot of junk food, but then also hear the gospel presented and what it means to walk with Jesus. And I kind of share this testimony in one of my YouTube videos from a few years ago, but I mean, it really, it kind of wrecked my world, because I had never seen the gospel presented in the way that was just like, you know, it's a relationship. It's not necessarily like this big, broad religion or like perspective that I can't really have a close relationship with God. So it really changed me. And I feel like I was encouraged in that time to start making faith-driven videos. So during this like 2 to 3 year trek, I was doing a lot of faith videos. And then I realized that my calling online was more so to be like a bridge for non-believers and believers to be encouraged and uplifted and hopefully pointed towards the gospel. And it's been amazing to see the messages that I've received just from people being more open and receptive to what it's like to walk with Jesus, and going from like even abiding to like some different religion that I had never even heard of to inviting Jesus into their heart and seeing visions. It's like crazy what God has done through just the platform that he's blessed us with. So now the channel that I have is the Hearst family, because my husband and I wanted to make it kind of like a family channel that we can take into the next 2 years of our lives, and we have kids, and so we were thinking more long term with that. But I love doing anything creative, and I think the Lord has encouraged me in that, with not feeling like I have to just have one job or one thing that I'm sticking with the rest of my life. Like, I think that he has instilled these gifts in me and just encouraged me to walk in like almost like seasons. Like right now I'm focusing on launching the book that I wrote called Above All Else. It's a 60-day devotional for young women. And so I wanted to just focus on that. And I feel like as someone who can get easily distracted, it's just fun to have several different things that I love and then kind of just focus on them one by one, if that makes any sense. So God's really moved in my heart and my life for just the people that he's put in my path. And I really am thankful for those people, because I don't really know where I'd be if I didn't have that encouragement and those people to lean on. And I'm thankful to be where we're at, and we're learning a lot in marriage. We got married in March of 2019. And so it's been so cool to see how God is wanting to teach us new things in this time. And it's way different than being single, for sure.
Well, I can definitely relate to what you were talking about, with the feeling of just like having all these different projects and doing a bunch of different things and moving from this to that. Like, that's a big part of like my job here at Charisma too, is just like doing a bunch of different projects and doing podcasts and doing magazine, doing stuff in my own free time and that sort of thing. So it's pretty cool to see how God's using you in that space. For you, I know that you were talking about like you made the channel when you were 13. I'm guessing like the channel did not like blow up in popularity immediately. Like, what point for you did you start to realize like, oh, I might be onto something here?
Yeah, it definitely did not blow up in popularity immediately, but I did start YouTube, like the whole like recording videos and everything, about a year after I created my account. And I was really into all of the comedy videos and anime, cosplay, makeup tutorials. Like, I loved those videos, and I wanted to create videos just like Michelle Phan, who is a beauty guru type person that recently took a long hiatus from YouTube, but then now she's back and I'm like freaking out. She's like totally the person who made me want to start YouTube. And so I started in the makeup scene, and when I think I blew up, it was honestly from this makeup competition that I entered. It was an online competition where there was different themes and challenges. And then I ended up going to LA to compete live. And I was 14 at the time, competing against like women in their 30s and 40s. So it was pretty fun. But I just think I got a lot of exposure from that event. And then I went from like a couple thousand to like 100,000 subscribers at that point. But the channel's really evolved, because I went from doing makeup to lifestyle to faith videos, and then to just kind of like positive encouragement / not really, kind of like being unapologetic about my faith, but also like not wanting to shove anything down people's throats, if that makes any sense. Like, my husband and I just like to make content that's kind of natural to us, and that's fun, but also draws people into what we believe as well. So yeah, definitely was not a hit right at the start. It took me about a year to even see any traction at all, and people were weird at the start of YouTube. They requested some different types of videos, and I was just like, I'm gonna stick with the makeup for right now. And so I did like all different sorts of costume videos, and those are my most popular videos on my channel still today. And people comment on them like it's 2019 and I just uploaded a video, and they go to the channel and they're like, wow, she's married and she used to make Barbie tutorials. Oh man, so fun.
Well, I think that's just like hearing you talk about sort of like how it's changed over time. I think it's so interesting, because like, I think you're one of many people in our generation who are maybe not in like formal ministry, but because of what you're doing online, it gives you just this massive platform to reach millions of people with the love of Christ, like you were talking about. So for you, is this sort of like, is making videos, do you view that as a form of ministry?
Yeah, for sure. We definitely see a lot of people like asking questions on a deeper level outside of just the topics that we talk about. So we'll get DMs on Twitter and Instagram and people asking questions about the videos that we create and say, hey, why do you even view things this way? Like, I've never seen things viewed from this perspective. And you know how our world can be. People are very quick to judge if it's not their perspective or if mm-hmm. people view things differently. And so I think that it's really cool that we're just really intentional about being inviting to what we believe, but also not shying away from the truth and just communicating it in a way that's effective. And I've really had to pray for that voice, because sometimes I can come across as like too like agreeable like to other people's beliefs. And like, I think my husband has really helped me out with this, because he's just really blunt and honest. And then I'm like more of that, well, let's communicate this to the whole audience and make sure that we're not offending certain people, but also like still, you know, standing firm in what we believe. So people are obviously still going to be offended in some ways, but I think it's just a matter of like how you treat them through the process. Like, are you going to dodge away whenever they have a really deep question and they believe differently than you? Or are you going to lean in when they do have questions and maybe their perspective is just a little bit different than yours, but it's worth listening to and it's worth hearing out and it's worth encouraging them, because people really need that. So it's been amazing to see how God has used the platform, but also there have been times where I've really wanted to just quit, because it is a lot of work and people change, and YouTube space is not what it used to be. A lot of people are making content that's just really negative and gossip driven, and that's just not who we are, and we just don't want to do that. So it's hard to keep gaining momentum, like more subscribers, when people are just feeding off of this drama content. But I'm just really hoping that that will, you know, fizzle out and people will want something that actually has meaning and depth. And so that's our goal.
I think that's great. And all that you were describing about being a bridge and how you feel like that's your calling, I think that that's going to be increasingly important in the years ahead, because like, we can't just assume that people have the Christian faith like maybe they had in past generations, where there was like all these nominal
right.
Christians. Sort of is that a lot of people aren't raised in Christian homes, don't have any exposure to that sort of thing, and figuring out how to reach those people where they are without offending them,
exactly.
Or without assuming that they have that. For people who are listening to this who are similarly passionate about trying to reach those people who maybe don't have a Christian background, what advice can you give them about being a bridge to people who don't know Jesus yet?
That's a really, I love that. Well, I like to look at my life before I knew Jesus, which obviously I was really young, but I also like to see like the examples in my friends that have been transformed by him after they had, you know, maybe, and even my husband talks about his testimony, how was a teenager, like just making decisions that he ended up kind of regretting. And then that was God's kindness kind of drawing him in, being like, there's more to life than all these things that you think are going to fulfill you and you keep doing, but you end up in this cycle. And so I just like to see from honestly a perspective of grace and mercy, and knowing that God has extended that to us so freely, but also he does require us to, you know, sacrifice those parts of our lives that we question, you know, like it's important that we just, you know, invite him into those spaces. And so I just like to sit and listen to people. I think it's important that before we speak, we really hear them out and listen to their stories, and also just ask them questions. I think the more we're engaged into what they have to say, instead of just firing back with a short answer when they don't agree with us, I think that's just when we start becoming bridge builders. We are more just, I guess, inviting in that case. Like, people will not be quick to, like, you know, either log off when you offend them or just not want to continue a conversation in person. I think if we are able to just sit and listen, and maybe even if we know that we're investing in them as friends, that the first time they bring up something that we don't agree with or we want to see them be better in, then we just don't even talk about what we are hoping that they see in us or whatever at the first time they meet. Maybe we just listen to them first, and then we just start, you know, getting deeper with them as time goes on. I think it's important that we establish those relationships as well. And obviously this isn't the case with everyone, but I think that's what I've learned with friendships, is the best thing you can do is just being a great listener, because most people around the world aren't even that. You really have to work to just kind of lean in and listen to people, because I think that really is what shows up as being like a great friend and someone who actually cares about someone, is hearing their story and figuring out how we can be of service to them rather than them agreeing with us. I think that's really the difference between just kind of being there and trying to defend our faith rather than trying to be friends and hear them out first. I think that's just the first step, in all honesty.
That's a great point. This might seem like kind of a random question, but how old are you?
I'm 21.
Nice. So I'm pretty sure then, I'm pretty sure that makes you, I think, the youngest of all of the people that we're interviewing for this series, which I think is really cool.
Oh, wow.
Because like a lot of the people that we're talking to maybe would fit more in, like, there's always like the moving spectrum of like what people classify this as, but like would fall more in the millennials category. Whereas I think then with 21 that you would fall into Gen Z, which I think is interesting, because it's truly then about the next generation. And so, and a lot of the people that you reach with your content are people who are teenagers or young adults, people very similar in age to you. And so as you're doing that, what do you see as being some of the biggest struggles and issues facing teens and young adults today?
There are so many. Honestly, the biggest part I see nowadays, I think it can just go without even saying, is mental illness. People are more depressed than ever and are just really seeking to fill that lonely void that they have. And I think, you know, we've heard this so much, that although we're the most connected generation, we are the most disconnected generation because of the invention of social media and how it's impacted us. And people are just more comfortable when they're in the presence of people. They don't know what to talk about, and they just immediately go to their phones. And I think just being involved in so many other people's worlds has really increased this whole depression thing. And I've been there. I know what it's like. I don't want to feel stuck in that at all. And so I really had to get help on so many different levels. I had to go to therapy and just believe that there is healing in medicine, and praying my guts out that things would change. And I think also just having community around you, real face-to-face interaction. I think that's what the next generation needs. I think that's what I'm hearing all the time, is I don't even know what I believe anymore because I'm so sad and I'm so lonely. Like, I don't have any friends in person. The only people I talk to are people in my DMs or on Twitter or whatever it is. I think that's one of the biggest problems. And I also think that a lot of people don't even know where they belong in church, because a lot of the church has gotten this rep of just being like a force that's against certain things in our world that's becoming so popular that it's not even like a place where they feel invited, first of all. And then, you know, maybe we talk about more deep things, but I think a lot of people are just searching for belonging, to not feel lonely, and then also just real true friendships. And I think we need to start, you know, figuring out how to make those things happen, how to heal those things, because those are all vital parts of life. Into having a thriving life. And I think it's just so important that we figure out how to do that exactly. And I think it really does start with, you know, encouraging people where they're at instead of trying to change them when we first meet them. And I think so many people think that that's the solution, and it's just not.
I think that's a great point. I do want to make sure while I'm talking to you that we get to talk a little bit about Above All Else, since at the time of recording, that's your new devotional, just released last week. Tell me about what inspired you to put this book together.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm super excited for this book in particular because my first book that I wrote was a lifestyle beauty faith guide for young women. And I love that book, but it was mostly my story woven with scripture and just encouragement. And a devotional is just so, I think, just direct to the hearts of people because they can go right into scripture where the true power is. I keep telling people that the words that I write in my devotional, while they may be encouraging, there's really no power in them because it's not God's word. And so I just encourage people to go straight into scripture and then kind of see the breakdown that I have for that day and then the challenges that I put forth for them for that day. And I've just heard a lot of great feedback so far of how it's just encouraged people in their faith, and also it tackles certain subjects that young adults are having today in this world, just like dating and friendship and mentorship and just how to live a healthy life. Like, what does that even mean in today's day? So I got the inspiration just from getting so many DMs from girls just asking, first of all, for a devotional, because I think it's almost like another way of being a bridge, because some people just don't even know where to start in the Bible. And I think it's great to have a resource that points you to scripture where you can read even more, but you also hear a different perspective of maybe how you haven't thought of something in the past, or maybe there's some story connection to real life. And I just loved writing it, honestly. I mean, it was a lot harder than writing a normal book because scripture was involved, but I felt very honored that God was just drawing me in this direction to put out this resource. So I hope people are encouraged by it.
Yeah, absolutely. If people want to get a hold of it, where can they do so?
It is available in stores at Books and Noble. Wow, that's not the name of it. Barnes and Noble. And then also online on Amazon. And I'm sure there's other online hubs, but those are the three that are coming to mind right now.
Nice. Great. One last question for you. Just in your own quiet time, when you're spending time with the Lord, what's on your heart? What are you praying about right now?
Right now, I would say I'm praying for, like, figuring out, I wouldn't even say the balance, but the ability to be still in the right moment and just take God at his word. And then also how to work effectively. What does work for God actually look like? And how do I devote that time to him? Because I think oftentimes I feel like kind of a busybody, like I'm just doing things to feel like accomplished for the day. But I truly want everything that I do to be in line with his word. But also I want to feel like I'm communing with him throughout the day instead of just getting through the day and, just being a busybody. I don't want to be that. So that's my prayer. And I've been reading 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and I really love it. It speaks a lot about do not be just simply a busybody, but, be someone who's intentional. And then it encourages believers to call our people out whenever maybe they're needing to be encouraged in the right direction. So that's something that I've been learning and praying for.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's pretty much all my questions today. Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about, or you feel like we should bring up that we didn't get to?
Well, that question sparked me to ask you what you've been learning, because I always love hearing what other people are learning. Or what have you been praying for lately?
I think for me, I've been learning a lesson recently just about the way that I think it's easy a lot of times for us to think that when good things are happening in our life, that God is really happy with us. And, I learned when I was younger the idea that, like, bad things happening in your life does not necessarily mean that God is not with you, sort of. But I think I still hung on to the idea that, like, well, when things are good or when you're happy or that sort of thing, that means that you're doing what God wants you to do. When you're successful, that means God is happy there. But I think recent events for me have just like kind of shed a light on. It's like, that's not necessarily the case of like, you can be successful or you can be happy. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're operating in God's will at the time. And that you need to have, it's more important to have a close prayer life and to have that relationship with God and stay tethered that way than it is to, you know, look at your life as like proof one way or the other about what God thinks about you. And I don't know that I've figured all of that out yet, but that's been what I've been going through in my own prayer life.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that. Cause
yeah.
I think that that's pretty relatable to us all. So.
All right. Well, if people, you mentioned before that you've got, for people who haven't checked out the YouTube channel, where can they go to find out more from you?
Well, they can go to the Hurst family on YouTube, and then we're both on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you just search our names, and the book Above All Else is available once again on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million. And if you end up reading it, please send me a message and let me know what you're encouraged with. I would love to hear that and just have a conversation with one of you. So, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you all so much for listening to this interview as part of the New Year, New Voices 2020 series here on the Charisma News podcast. Remember, you can find us online at charismanews.com or charismamag.com, and be sure to check out the January-February issue of Charisma Magazine, which features an entire story about all of these interviews titled Tomorrow's Charismatics. Again, you can find that at charismamag.com. Thank you all for listening, and tune in tomorrow.